You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost, May 15th, 2016, by the Reverend Karen Haig, Associate Rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us? What does he mean by saying to us, "A little while, and you will no longer see me," and again, "A little while, and you will see me"? What does he mean by this, "A little while"? We do not know what he is talking about. Questions, confusion, fear, doubt. The words Jesus speaks to his disciples today come in the midst of the very last conversation he had with his disciples before he died. Knowing Jesus would suffer and die had brought this little community to a place of deep sadness, a place of fear and uncertainty. After all, they had come to know God through Jesus, and Jesus was about to disappear. But he promised them that they would not be abandoned when he left. In fact, he promised them that he would be with them even after he'd gone. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am leaving, but you will not be abandoned. I am with you always. You may not understand what I'm saying now, but you will. The divine spirit which lives in me will come and live in you, and then you will understand everything. Whatever the disciples heard Jesus telling them at that Last Supper, they were still trying to figure it out when they gathered in the upper room on the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Jesus died, then he rose. He appeared among them for a time, then he ascended, and they saw him no more. All they had now were their memories, their stories, and that strange promise of a new form of presence, the Holy Spirit. But when would that Spirit come, and what would it mean for them? And then, with Pentecost pilgrims thronging the streets and the disciples shut away with their questions behind the locked doors of an upper room, it all began to happen. It was strange. It was awesome. It was wonderful. A huge wind blew into town, filling the house with such force and noise that no one could even hear themselves pray. And when that wind died down, there was a cacophony of voices so loud that people all throughout the neighborhood came running, calling out to others, who called out to others, who called out to others, who called out to others, and all of them came to see the fire and hear the incredible sound. The promised Holy Spirit came into the hearts of the people of Jerusalem that day, speaking God's mighty deeds of power in God's language of love that sounded like the native tongue of every single person in town. It made them a community of believers marked as God's own. And that community became the new church, the body of Christ in the world. It's awesome. What do you think of when you think of church? Our culture tends to describe church as a place to go, a place where people go to get their spiritual needs met. That sort of thinking is consistent with many of our culture's individualistic values, and while it won't make for real Christian community, it does make sense to many who find themselves in the spiritual but not religious crowd. We often hear the self-proclaimed spiritual but not religious people disparaging church in favor of finding God on the golf course or in the mountains or wherever they happen to be on Sunday morning. The quintessential example is a woman named Sheila, who is famous among seminarians, because we all had to read about her in Robert Bella's book, Habits of the Heart, a classic study of religion in America. "I believe in God," Sheila says. "I'm not a religious fanatic." So apparently in our culture you have to separate those two things so they know you're not crazy because you believe in God. "I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. It's called Sheilaism." "Just my own little voice. It's just like, try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, I guess take care of each other. Yeah, I think God would want us to take care of each other. Sheilaism." Well, I'm quite sure God does want us to take care of each other. What we need to remember is that when we allow our faith to stand alone, we run the risk of listening for our own little voice rather than the voice of God. We hear God's voice as individuals, yes, but we must listen for God in community, in order to hear the myriad ways God wants to speak to us. When God's Holy Spirit came among God's people, the Spirit came into community and made even more community. That little church went from 100 people to 3,000 in just that one day. And the people who thought their story was over when Jesus told them he was returning to the Father, realized that their story was only beginning. Empowered by God's Holy Spirit, they would now be the body of Christ in the world. Through their own hearts to love and hands to work, the love of Jesus would continue to show itself. Peter and John laid hands on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. Peter preached to the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit fell upon every single one of them. Paul laid hands on the Corinthians, and the Holy Spirit came upon them too. You see, Pentecost isn't something that happened only once and a long time ago. Pentecost happens over and over and over again. It happens each time we speak words of love and mercy, each time we offer kindness, each time we share who we are and what we have. At that first century Pentecost, and in every little Pentecost since then, God's Holy Spirit comes into us, birthing God into the world again, not in one body, but in the body that is all of the believers. Our God is not satisfied to stand at a distance. Our God loves us far too much for that. God's deepest desire is to live in us and for us to live in God. God's Holy Spirit comes among us not only to remind us and teach us, but also to make Jesus present to us and in us here and now. God's Holy Spirit makes the incarnation permanent, filling us with the God who speaks in everyone's language, because God's is the language of love. That same Spirit that enlivened Jesus, that united him with God and poured God's love into the world, has come to live in us too. There are stories of God's Holy Spirit everywhere. And poet Naomi Shihab Nye tells one of my favorites. "After learning my flight was delayed 4 hours, she says, I heard the announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of gate 4A understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate 4A was my gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. Help, said the service flight attendant person. Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be 4 hours late, and she did this. I put my arm around her and spoke to her haltingly in Arabic. The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly I used them, she stopped crying. She thought our flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for some major medical treatment the following day. I said, no, no, we're fine. You'll get there, just a little late. Who's picking you up? Let's call him and tell him. We called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and would ride next to her. It was Southwest. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for the fun of it. We called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, that they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took about 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling about her life, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag, and she was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the traveler from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling because there is no better cookie. And then the airline broke out the free beverages from huge coolers, non-alcoholic, and the two little girls for our flight, one African-American, one Mexican-American, ran around serving us all apple juice and lemonade, and they were covered in powdered sugar too. And I noticed my new best friend, by now we were holding hands, had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country traveling tradition. Always carry a plant, always stay rooted somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. Not a single person in this gate, once the crying and confusion had stopped, has seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. What the poet describes is the world which God has made and continues to make day after day after day. This is the world Pentecost makes possible, a world where everyone hears in the language of love. It's the voice of Jesus present with us and in us through the power of the Holy Spirit in a shared community where one of us is reaching out to another, and she is reaching out to another, and he reaches out to another, and another, and another, and all of us teaching and learning and feeding and welcoming and praying and sharing and comforting and visiting and serving and blessing and loving. This is what we were made for. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.